This week's episode is brought to you by the Unbearable Podcast, the unofficial and professional football talk podcast from your favorite hosts in the world, Steve Hodge and Kevin Hodge. This podcast has a much higher budget, obviously, because they can advertise on our prestigious podcast. So, lots of dollars. So if you like football and, for some reason, us talking, there you go. New podcast. Yeah,
if you looked at yourself at the end of the day and you're like, you know what I need more of today or this week? Those two idiots. This is the podcast for you.
Yep. Coming out September 3rd.
Oh! I've realized that doing random arm flailing is all I have at weddings nowadays. I've never known how to dance, but I have gone all in on the just, you know, find the beat and then just start chucking arms up and around and just, you know.
Butt wiper, you know, and arm flailing.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I already bought into the, like, funny fat guy. Like, that's my niche. So then when funny fat guy starts whipping his arms around during the fucking wobble, they're like, that's fucking funny.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.
Seriously, I haven't heard the wobble in fucking forever, but when I went to Phil's wedding the other week, it's just as long, if not longer, than you recall it being.
I remember it taking forever. All I know is, every time I hear that fucking song, I think of Second Avenue, because it played every single time we were there in college.
You know, I'm not shitting you. The Wobble has no less than 14 and a half verses in it. It is so long, and it just is the same thing over and over and over again.
It's bad. But what isn't bad is this podcast. Hello. Welcome to Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, lover, Kevin Hodge.
Flail them arms.
This week, we're going to talk a little bit about our new podcast that we have coming out. We're going to talk about the new Truck Yeah, which is Hell Right, by Blake Shelton and Trace Adkins.
I do really appreciate appreciate them having like a two-word, really easy, bang-bang kind of title, because like as garbage as Hot Dama Llama is, it's like really hard to work into a sentence. Hell Right is just the kind of stupidness that I can insert to literally any sentence at any moment.
Hell Right. Anyway, and then we're going to talk about the 10... Eric Church non-single deep cuts that you should be listening to, since we did Eric Church for episode 1 way back in the day, which is fitting that we're at episode 99, almost to 100, and we're re-talking.
We're episode JJ Watt.
Yeah, JJ Watt. JJ Twat, show me your abs. so we're going to talk about the... Because also when we did Eric Church back then, we didn't do the top 10s, we just kind of rambled for an hour about...
You could literally tell me just a bunch of random nonsense that didn't actually happen and say that's what we did for the first podcast, and I'd believe you, because I have no memory of it whatsoever.
Yeah, you can tell, like, we're still not great podcast hosts, and no one should be listening to us, but we're a lot better than we were episode 1.
Well, speaking of Eric Church, I better fucking start fucking saying more fucking F-bombs, because if I want to fucking beat the fucking record I had in my fucking first fucking episode, it was a fucking lot.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Fuck.
But first off is, you heard that advertisement right at the start of the podcast. We're starting a new second podcast because, you know, people should listen to us, I guess.
I don't know if I would say should.
No, people do for some reason, but, yes,
and I appreciate you immensely.
If you listen to us during the last fall or last two falls, we would spend the first 15 minutes of each podcast talking about the Bears and the NFL.
Yes.
And we figured, you know what? That's not what this podcast is about. It's about country music. I mean, granted, we talk about every stupid fucking thing under the sun on this podcast.
Oh, for sure.
But we're like, you know what? Instead of talking about the Bears for the first 15, 20 minutes every week, let's just get it out of our systems with another podcast and do that. So we're going to do one that it should be entertaining. I don't know. If you find this entertaining, it'll be the same thing, but instead of country music, it'll be about football. So,
and we promise that it won't be like super long, because we don't also want to like add that much more time into our lives. So it'll be a nice, clean, no idea what minutes to put on it, because I don't want to guarantee something before we've done it.
Yeah.
But the plan is shorter, to the point, fun, good stuff.
Yeah. And it's not that big of a, it's not that huge of a responsibility for us, because it won't have music in it, so I don't have to sit there editing it for 2 fucking hours after it's done.
True. So, and we don't really have to worry too much about trying to create merchandise to put on the website, because the Bears have so many things trademarked, we know that we can't even fuck with a lot of it.
The NFL in general has so many things.
Yes, exactly. We probably make some unbearable shirts just that say unbearable with blue and orange, and then beyond that,
Yeah. But we'll see if we have more than 5 listeners on that podcast, because I don't know how we have any bit of a following on this one, but I'm not guaranteeing we're going to have one on that, because this is much more of a niche market, whereas that is pretty broad, so there's a lot out there for it.
Hey, women don't like being called broads, you racist.
Sorry, skanks.
Sorry, PC police.
Backdoor slots 9.
Backdoor slots 9.
Anyway, so yeah, that'll come out in a week and a half ish. And we're also going to switch recording from this podcast should still come out Thursday nights or Friday mornings, wherever you're from, time zone wise. But we're going to start recording this on Tuesday, so if there's any news between Tuesday and Thursday, then it'll just
when
be
you said
next
between
week.
Thursday night and Friday morning in my brain, and when you said like depending on where you're from, I'm just like, the days of the week don't change when you're somewhere else. And then I realize what you're talking about is it depends on what time of night you put it up. Yes, it all makes sense now. But for a second yes. Saturdays here are actually Tuesdays in Mexico, so, you know, everything's different.
Yeah, and, you know, we have European listeners, so that.
Yes, and that is very true. And I appreciate y'all. And it's not Tuesdays, because you're not in Mexico.
Yeah. Every day is Tuesday in Mexico. I don't know what that means. I'm going to make that a shirt.
You know? Sounds like a country song. Maybe dumbass hellwright Blake Shelton should write that fucking song.
Every day is Tuesday in Mexico.
It would make more sense.
Everyone's like, what? What does that even mean?
Because limes and tacos and sombreros. Well,
as the ever-wise Jay-Z once said, nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative. It gets the people going.
Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative.
He also skates to one song and one song only, so, you know, there's that.
Exactly. Anyway, speaking of dumbass Blake Shelton, Hell Right is a song.
I believe my tweet was, the new Blake Shelton song is an abomination of biblical proportions, and I think that pretty much sums it up.
Like, honestly, when it started, I was just like, it was, like, it had, you know, country elements to it. So I was like, oh, this is probably just like I thought it was going to be, like, on the level of, like, Honky Tonk but Donkadonk type dumb. Or, like, Hillbilly Bone, which is another one by them, like, that level of dumb.
Oh, yeah.
I did not expect it to just take those two and be like, hey, you guys sound like Merle Haggard compared to this. And then,
yeah, it's for me, it's really one of those where it makes no sense, because not only is it just a bad, terribly written piece of shit song, it's also like it shits on Old Town Road in the middle of it, while also like starting with a rap verse, like Blake Shelton's trying to rap, and then he's shitting on a song for not being country enough for rapping while he's making a way worse rap song.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I didn't really listen to the lyrics because I was trying to not die. But
Yeah, no, I have brain damage now, so I'm going to be extra stupid today.
Yeah, but, like, because then you get to the... And, like, the one thing that also confuses me is, like, when you say truck, yeah, it's like... It's like saying fuck yeah, you know, it's like truck yeah! Truck yeah, wanna get it jacked up, yeah, let's crank it on up, yeah! But who says hell right?
It's no hell one yeah. says hell right. Like, that's the point, is that no one says that this word that they just, like, hell right is not a thing, right?
Yeah, hell because... Right? Because if you were to, like, if it was to be playing words, it'd be the opposite of hell left, not a thing. Or it'd be the opposite of hell wrong, also not a thing. Neither of those are things people say. So, what is it a play on words for?
I legitimately don't understand. Because it seems like they're, like, exactly, like, it plays as an anthem. Like a thing that people are, like, as if it was, instead of saying hell right, he's saying roll tide, and everyone's like, yes, this is a thing that we say, exactly. It's a punctuation mark, yes! But instead, it's just like, what the fuck are these guys on about? Why is this song so shitty? Why did you bring Trace Adkins into this just to shit on his name some more? What the fuck is going on?
Hey, because Trace Adkins has lit, no song is better than that.
Oh my god. I legitimately forget about 90% of the terrible songs Trace Adkins has just because I stopped, like, paying attention.
I know.
Just like, nope. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, not great. But I think here's my thought. This could be wrong, could be right. Probably wrong.
Hell right.
It's hell right. Hell right. Hell right. Everybody's throwing down on a Friday night. I think maybe, since it's not a play on words, it's just a nonsense phrase, maybe he's trying to create a phrase. It's like the catchphrase song from Lonely Island, or like, maybe he's like dilly-dillying, where he's just
I was literally just about to say
fucking slogan on you.
This is dilly-dilly. This is the dilly-dilly of country songs, and it makes me very angry.
Yeah, he's just forcing, because he wants people to be at his concert being like, hell right, Blake Shelton, hell right. That's what he wants.
This is a viral ad gone wrong. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what it is. This is Todd Gurley pretending to adopt a kitten for a Hulu advertisement. That's what this is. Goddamn. recently, so Todd Gurley, like, made some bet at some point where he was going to get a cat, and then he posted on Instagram that he finally got a cat, and then the next day it ended up being a Hulu ad, and so it was just a viral ad campaign to get people to talk about it. That's what this is. He's trying to dilly-dilly his way into hell right being a thing, and everyone's like, remember when our Lord and Savior, Blake Shelton, came up with this really genius way to say nothing at all, and it's called hell right? Thank God for him.
Yeah, and and it's definitely going to backfire him, because the only people who like this song are the Blake Shelton stans who just fucking love Blake Shelton.
All I'm saying is, if you got to come out at, you know, if you're Blake Shelton, you're making all the money in the universe. You don't really have to, like, give a shit about anything anyone says. If you come out and tweet before you release a song that says, all you country blogger, you know, pure country bloggers are going to be upset about this, you knew the abortion that you just recorded, you knew it going into this, and you just wanted to get more random social media traction that would, like, pan away from the actual just pile of dog shit that you have made. And it's really upsetting, because I did like God's Country. It wasn't necessarily a country song, but I thought it was a jam, and I really dug the whole vibe. And now that Hell Right has come out, I am legitimately in Jason Aldean levels of post burning it down. I swear to God, if you play anything that he's ever played, I will fucking murder you. I don't care if it's good. Like, that's where I'm at with fucking Blake Shelton right now.
That's the thing. I'm not at that level. I've never been at the level with any artist. I still listen to older songs by artists I don't like anymore, but I don't listen to Blake Shelton that much anymore. Like, there are very few songs of his that come on that I leave on. Like, most of his shit is just like, it's fine.
I would say there's a good chance that God's Country makes its way onto my Spotify playlist at the end of the year, just because I jammed through it a bunch of times. But that's for sure, like, the first one that I've, like, listened to him, like, I really like the sound of this. Like, I want to play it again. Because, I mean, I would say, I don't know, like, Old Red back in the day was one. Yeah. I'm like, this is a good song. But, like, I never really gave a shit about Blake Shelton all that much.
I listened back in the day. I listened to Red River Blue a lot when that one came out, and then Pure BS. I listened to those two albums a lot.
That's pretty decent. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't really listen to them that much anymore. Like I think I had like two songs saved from the one where the cover was the water tower from like his hometown or whatever. I listened to like a few from that, and then I just really didn't listen to anything after that. So I haven't. It's not that like even that I hated Blake Shelton or anything. I just stopped listening. He was just a whatever artist to me.
But we can thank the Lord that I saw a really funny tweet about this song where a person tweeted out that, quote, Gwen Stefani should not fuck Blake for this song.
Yeah, I read Trigger's fucking... I don't read Saving Country Music that much anymore, but I did read his article on this one, and I was just like, I hope his unborn children become blind. I was just like, that's okay.
That's a little excessive, but at the same time, should this guy really have children?
he has deer prints on his arm tattooed on him, so you know he's awesome. But yeah, so Hell Right, this is... Hell All Right with me. Dan-dan-dan-dan-dan. Anyway, yeah, so that's the newest abortion of country music these days. And
yeah, it's a terrible, terrible song.
What a surprise. Oh, speaking of abortion, Megan's...
Nice segue.
No. Smushface, I listened to his cover of Don't Close Your Eyes, and It's as good as he can make it. I'll put it that
way. Okay, I keep talking about it or like bringing it up, and I still literally haven't listened to it.
It's because I don't think
I like the idea of it more than anything. I'm afraid that if I listen to it and I'm disappointed, I'll be like, damn it.
He doesn't pop it, which is fine, and he's not a good singer, so it's as good as he can make it. That's all.
Yeah,
I'll say.
That'll bite you in the ass. You know, not having talent.
Yeah, he's not good. But anyway, let's move on to Eric Church. So yeah, if you've been listening to
this Eric Church.
I should have listened to the old Eric Church episode just to hear what we said about it, so we could re-talk about shit, see where we're at now. But so if you're a first-time listener, hello, awesome. If you're not, then you know that we started this podcast not only to introduce people to artists that they don't know, but to also talk about songs that people might skip over because they're not singles, so they're not on the radio, they're not, you know, streamed on these famous, like, you know, popular playlists and shit. So we always wanted to be like, yeah, I know you like Smoke a Little Smoke and Love Your Love the most, but have you heard, you know, this, which is not a popular song, but it's a really well-written song. It's a song you should know. So that's what we want to do with these popular artists. So we figured, instead of doing our top 10, which we never did, we weren't doing tops back then, so we're like, instead of doing a top 10, let's do top 10 non-single songs, because then those are ones that we know people might not have listened to. I mean, if you're a church choir fan, you know every song. He plays every song at his fucking concert, so there's never a song where you're like, oh, I've never heard him play that one, because he switches his set list literally every night. He never plays the same songs, so which is cool. So if you're not like a huge church choir person, then you might not know all these songs. So we figured, hey, let's do 10 songs you might not know by them. So that's what we're doing. And I noticed our lists are obviously different. This is the first time we've actually done it where we've made our own lists and combined it into one. We haven't done that in a while. It's been a long time.
I know.
But I was looking at it, and both of our lists were pretty diverse, but once we put them together, like, let's see, of the 10, I think 7 of them are from the same album. But that just goes to show how, and they're all from his older albums, so it just goes to show how good his older albums were, because actually, I think there's one that wasn't from his first two albums that's on this list. Only one. And it's not, I mean, we could talk more about it after the top 10, just because I do want to talk about his later albums and stuff too, because we haven't done too much of that recently. But let's just hop into the top 10 first. So number 10 is A Man Who Is Gonna Die Young.
I put the rage in a river, the roar in a thunder, You kept me from going under when that current got too heavy. I always thought I'd be a heap of metal in a cloud of smoke, foot stuck to the pedal. Sold for parts like a junkyard rusty that Chevy. Fear I've had none. What the hell made you want a man who's gonna die young?
This is the only one from his later albums, and I just really, really love this one because it's one of those, like, I've always been this nonstop, you know, you can't keep me, can't put the, you know, roots in the ground type of thing, can't, no moss on a Rolling Stone type guy, and it's just finally like, how did you fall in love with this guy who was fated to die young because of my lifestyle? And it's gorgeous love song. Yes.
I love it, and I've said it on this podcast a bunch of times about all these random fucking song types that I'm such a sucker for, but these kind of, like, you saved me, and this is, like, what I would, like, I was going down a terrible path, and, like, you know, the fucking, I don't know, diamond in the rough, or I don't know, fucking, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Is great, and I love it, and so I agree with everything you just said, where it's this beautiful love song, you know, just where he's talking about, like, how, you know, in the chorus he's basically saying, like, I thought I would just be driving fast and getting in a car wreck, and that was just going to be how I was going to go out, and now I have something to live for and something to, like, really, like, love, and it's amazing. And I'm like, that is just so nice. Fuck.
Mm-hmm. And he's just like, who would have ever thought that the hair on my head would get gray and, like, that kind of stuff. And
absolutely.
But I also love this song, not only, like, the song itself, you know, not talking about that. When we saw him at Allstate that one time and his encore was literally just him on stage playing this acoustically, that was so cool. And he just, like, he does this 2-fucking-hour-long show, and then he goes off stage, he comes out, he sings this song on, like, this rotating stage where he's just kind of spinning while he's singing it, and then it's just done. And it was such a cool encore for that. And and I just love this song. It's phenomenal. Oh, shit. My phone turned off now. Come back. Number 9 is The Hard Way.
Only fools would race down Grist Mill Road, let alone in angry weather. That's what I tell everyone I know, now that I know better. That's a lesson I wish I would have learned without having to watch my Mustang burn before my best buddy had to wind up hurt and his whole life was changed. That's a lesson I wish I didn't learn the hard way.
So this is obviously
about dicks.
It's a Viagra theme song. No, it's one of those learn your lessons the hard way type thing, and it's just always kind of, it's on top, it's like, I wish I didn't have to learn this the hard way, but on the same time, it's like, I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't learn it the hard way type thing. Yep. And but, like, obviously there's this thing about, you know, he drove too fast and now his friend's in a wheelchair. It's like, that's a lesson I wish I didn't have to learn the hard way, and stuff like that, and it gets, you know, sad and whatnot at that.
Yeah, because I think it's really interesting that a lot of country songs have that, you know, lessons I've learned as a youngster, you know, thing, but this one really putting it more on the negative effects that happened. You know, he learned the lessons, so he's a better person because of it, but thinking about what happened that's irreversible, I think, is really interesting.
And how it's not even like, like, when I did it, I broke my arm. It's like, no, my friend got fucked up because of
it. Like, I have to live with that forever now. It's like, damn.
And how his ex is married to another person because he fucked up the relationship. And so now it's like, I mean, that's obviously one that's on him, not on her, because she's happy with another guy. And it's like, that's a lesson I wish I didn't have to learn the hard way, knowing that she'd be gone one day and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, it's a great, great song. Number 8 is The Living Part of Life. Man, this life can sure be a mother. So tomorrow I'm taking me fishing. Hang a sign on the door of my life. Tell the world that I've gone missing. And I won't be back for a while. I'm so tired of only wishing I could leave my trouble behind. I want to be front porch rocking with a big sun dropping and a blue sky. Kick back and get high on the living part of life. I've always loved this song because it's
such
just
a jam.
It's that back porch picking type song where it sounds like they probably, you know, recorded it outside or something. And it's such a happy song, and like obviously we always talk about the sad songs, but this is one of those that's super happy, great summer drinking song where it's just like, so tomorrow I'm gonna take me fishing, and it's just like I'm gonna get high and just, you know, live my living part of life. And
it is such an enjoyable song. I do love this song. This is probably one of those that gets a lot more plays than I even realize that I do, just because it's like it's so much fun. And there's another one coming up that's the same way. Which it might even be the next one, but I don't remember what the order is.
Probably, because the next one's the only kind of upbeat one left. number 7 is Pledge Allegiance to the Hag. But at the top of every hour, man, you can hear a pin drop. As old Jack drops in a quarter and plays Merle on the jukebox. And we stop and tip our hats and raise our glasses. Cold beer. They say country's fading, but we're still waving that flag around here. When it's time to go, you know you're welcome back. Where the people pledge allegiance to the hag.
That's the one I was thinking of.
And
fucking
also,
love this song.
I'm very offended or triggered that you didn't have this on your top 10.
I on mine. Purposefully forced myself not to because it was just so obvious that I was just like, okay, let's think about, like, I know that it's not a single, so it still counts as not a single, but I listened to the song so many fucking times, I was like, no. let's force me to think about something that isn't this. But then when it showed up on the full list because it was on yours, I'm like, fucking thank God, because I love this song.
Yeah, this is this one obviously it doesn't have to do anything with Eric Church, but when the day Hag died and I went to do that open mic and I played a couple of his songs and then this one, and so this song always just reminds me of playing on stage and just thinking of Merle Haggard himself, and it's such a great one because it's just like all these, it's like one of those kind of small town anthems in a way, but it's not really about the small town. It's just about like going to a dive bar with some people, throwing a quarter in the jukebox and playing a Haggard song. And it's,
oh yeah,
it also it's what we do.
It's the perfect song for up north fishing and just, you know, I would imagine a lot of people are the same way, but our family goes fucking apeshit for the cold beer, and everyone's like, fucking beer, god damn it, yeah.
Now I want a drink, god damn it.
Yeah, I just had a couple beers and now I just keep staring at the lack of beer in front of me. I'm like, well, didn't plan this out.
Yeah, but I love it's this is yeah so our family, we like going up north to fish every once in a while, but I haven't gone in a few years, which makes me sad.
For all you southerners, super north.
Yeah, super, super far north. Northern Wisconsin, almost by Canada.
Basically.
But we go up there, and every time we go up there, one of our dads pretty much pulls out a 20 and goes, hey, we're going to put this in the jukebox, and we play a bunch of songs, and this one is always on the list. It's always on the list. And it's just, it's such a jam, and it's such a fun song just about listening to some fucking good country music.
Fucking A right.
Next up, though, is number 6, What I Almost Was. It was my senior year, I just turned 18. I was a Friday night hero with Division I dreams. I had an offer on the table, a 4-year ride, till that 4th and 2 and 24 died. I left on a stretcher, wound up on a crutch, walked on that
thank God I ain't what I almost was.
What a great song. I mean, like, you know, I guess now that I think about it, I have so many songs that I love that are just all about regrets. Thinking about regrets, thinking about the, you know, things that you could have done, could have did. And so this one's great because he's, you know, he thinks about, you know, how happy he is now going with the life that he chose, but then also thinking about all the different things that he thought, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, thought that he was important before, but then passed on. Because isn't it like he talks about his...
He was going to be a Division I football player.
Yeah, he was going to be a football player, and then he was pissed off about that, and he, like, blamed the other people, and then, you know, runs out on the girl and the money and all that stuff. But then, you know, it's all about the music, and that's what he cares about. And I really love that whole idea, especially because I really like his music, so I'm glad that he did do that path.
Yeah.
But, no, it's good. I like it a lot.
Well, it's also, it's cool because it's the kind of the opposite of the hard way, where rather than learning his lessons the hard way, he's just like, he learned his lesson kind of by following his gut rather than just taking the safe route. So instead of doing what he thought he was supposed to be doing, he did what he felt like he should be doing.
Exactly, what he truly believed in doing.
Yeah, so like how, like he said, how he was engaged, or not engaged, dating or whatever. He was dating a girl who had a father who had a job lined up for him that would have given him, like, a, you know, nice salary, a nice life, a comfortable life. And he's like, nah, that's not me. And he just, so he left her in the middle of the night type. And it's, yep. Yeah, it's a really cool song. Number five. So yeah, all five of those were from the same album, from his first one.
Yeah.
I had Sinners on Me, Like Me, on my list, but then I saw that that was a single. I was like, damn it.
Oh, it would have been on my list if it was not a single.
Yeah. But moving on to his first song from Carolina, which is the titular song, Carolina.
Titties.
I carry you in my heart. Your memory comes over me like the dark and like a phone call from my baby saying, honey, I miss you like crazy. Like a sound of a silent song. Oh, Carolina, you keep calling me home. Calling me home.
This is, it was on my, yeah, it was number 10 on my list, so it barely made the cut outside of, it was tough between a bunch of songs, but I do like this one, because it's a love note to this his state of,
yeah, where he's from. I like it.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he's North.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a love
letter. They're all one Carolina.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, it's a love song of being out on the road and missing your love, but the love he's talking about is his home state where he's, you know, comfortable living, and he just misses the, you know, being there.
Pretty much. Yeah, and I really like it because of, you know, obviously I am not from a Carolina, so I don't feel the exact same way that
podcast
he does
about over
specifically Carolina, but... I really like just the idea of, I mean, the idea of home and wherever you call home and, like, wanting to get back to it and then your memories and all that good stuff. Because I think about that, you know, about home, and I think about that about, like, when we go up north to Hayward and just those feelings of just, you know, you can think about the area and you can think about just the mindset it takes you to. It's just, it's real nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really fun song in that sense. Next up is number 4, Where She Told Me to Go.
I was looking for freedom. I was looking for a good time. I was looking for a little space, a little place that was mine, all mine. I was going with my change of heart. Wanting no part of forever. I was looking for a blessing. When I said, baby, it's all for the better. Yeah, what do you know? I think I wound up where she told me to go.
I just love this.
You go to hell and you die.
You go to hell. You go to hell and you die. I love this one because it's he never utters the phrase "go to hell," so it's just like, so it's implied because it just goes, "I guess I am where she told me to go," and because it's everything's going wrong, like the air conditioning won't get cold even though he has it set all the way low. The mechanic doesn't have the parts for his car, but he can order them and he'll have them in eventually. And so it's just like, I guess I'm where she told me to go. And it's just, and it's such a great heartbreak song. And I fucking love this one.
It's incredible. I love it.
Yeah, this one, we both had it on our list, but it was high up, so it didn't. Wait. Did I fuck up the list?
Way to go.
Way to go!
Yeah, I did fuck up the list.
God damn it.
Oops. We were supposed to...
Billy, you want the dollar or not?
We'll just talk about it with this song. You won't have the sample of it, but we'll talk about it with this song. Because it's just like... It was supposed to be on the list after Carolina, but I fucked it up. So it should be right here. And Carolina should have been six. But it's just like the song Can't Take It With You. Which was on both of our lists as well, but I fucked it up.
Way to go!
But Can't Take It With You, it's the song about the girl leaving him, and obviously the phrase is you can't take it with you when you go, it's about dying, and you can't take your shit with you to heaven, but it's about the girl taking everything when she left, and so he's like, well, who said you can't take it when you go, because I went to put my keys where the table used to be, and all this, and it's...
Yeah, the feeling of the emptiness of the relationship, and then having that talked about through the physical things that were taken, you know, it's just a really cool, you know, divorce breakup type country song, and I fucking love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that should have been on there. My bad.
God damn it, Billy. Kill me, Billy.
So great. Anyway, moving on. The top three, honestly, they could all tie for number one, and I'd be happy, because this is both of our number... Wait, no, I had Where She Told Me to Go above this next one, but it's pretty much same top three in a way. But number three is Lightning.
Oh, now I'm singing. Get me out of here. I see the preacher's eyes as my daughter cries when they strap me in this chair. Lord, I hope she forgives me for living my life this way. Tonight I ride the lightning to my final judge.
Yeah, I love this song.
This was the first song that I really fell in love with him. Like, this is the first one I heard where I was just like, holy shit, this guy is amazing.
Because I think this is the first one that you listen to where it's different, you know? And you hear it and you're like, okay, this guy has more than... Because especially if you just listen to, like, some of his singles, you're like, yeah, he's got this, you know, he's got this niche sound, and that's what he does. Like, this is kind of the first time you're like, oh, he can strip it down and
I mean,
make
yeah,
it
he has
awesome.
He has the slow songs, but this one's almost acoustic. It's not totally acoustic, but it's almost pretty much acoustic, where it's just that,
oh yeah,
like D chord, I think, like fret 8 or whatever. But like it's
yes, guitars.
Yeah, but it's such a great song, and it's one of those which we've talked about so many times, is instead of it being like, these are my emotions and this is what I'm feeling, he's telling a story about someone else, and it's a guy on death row who killed a guy who works at like a gas station, convenience store, whatever, because he was robbing it to feed his daughter, daughter. And it's such a cool song about, like, and then each chorus ends with "and roll on one," which is, you know, fire it up, and then roll on two, which is he's dead, and it's
zap.
It's such a great song. I love
it. Great storytelling, great sound, just great.
Yeah, I love it. These next two, they're pretty much tied for number one because we had them ranked the same, where he had it 2 and 1, I had it 1 and 2. Is number 2/ kind of number one, tied with number one, is Those I've Loved.
I remember waiting by the curb with Mr. Murphy when Daddy picked me up from school, his eyes were red. We drove to the hospital in a hurry, where my family gathered round my grandpa's bed. He was my best friend. He taught me how to fish, and I cried listening to my daddy pray for one of those I've loved along the way.
What a jam.
This is by far my favorite Eric Church song, and it's honestly probably a top five song of all time for me in general. I love this song so much. It's just nice, and I Let It Go number two, so Kevin could achieve number one.
Because I'm awesome.
But this song, it's an amazing song about, it's one of those, you know, kind of lessons I learned along the way, except it's those I've loved along the way. So it's like, I wouldn't be who I am without these people. So it's talking about how his grandpa passed away, and she's like, without him, I wouldn't have learned to fish. I wouldn't have learned this and that. Like, my grandpa was always there for me. And then it's, you know, the girl that I thought I loved, but she moved away. But without her, I wouldn't have, you know, known love and all this kind of stuff. And without these songs, I wouldn't have known myself. And it's just this, love this song. I just
it's incredible.
So much.
And I love the way that, you know, the way that he says those I've loved along the way, it sounds like what he's saying is like those I've lost as well. Like he's like loved and lost, and like the way that he says it, like those I've loved along the way, is just such a nice touch on the idea of these relationships that he's had in his past. And I think it's incredible. And then like, you know, when he talks about the songs as, you know, as like his children, and just, it's just, it's nice. I fucking love it.
Yeah,
he's
and
so
then,
good.
Yeah, this one, the last time I saw him, when it was just him alone for the 3 hours fucking show, he did this acoustic for an encore, and I was just like, oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I've seen Eric Church 4 times, because we saw him at Country Beatdown way back when, and then we saw him at E-Slayer, or whatever the fuck it's called now, and then...
What? Oh yeah, the fucking dick butt. Yeah,
that's a dick butt. And then we saw him twice at all. Or I saw him once at Allstate, and you saw him twice at the dick butt.
Yes,
because remember, you
but
saw
then
him
also
night,
we saw him a fifth time at Country Thunder.
Oh yeah, he was at Country Thunder, because that's when he opened up with Nyes in New Orleans, and we're like, that's an odd choice.
And everyone
for him to
was
open
just
up
like,
with.
You didn't play Drink in My Hand 12 times. Why? Yeah.
Drinking my hand, smoke a little smoke, only those. I forgot about that. Man, I miss Country Thunder back when they sometimes had country music.
R.I.P.
Yeah, I mostly just miss the people and atmosphere. But, yeah, it's been 5 times, shit. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, that's by far my favorite song by Eric Church. But this one is also quite good, because it was my number two, is These Boots.
In these boots, I've danced with the devil, and nearly lost that battle to a wild Irish rose. I wore out more souls than I care to count, and done more stupid things than most would dare to. I've kicked myself times enough for the roads they let me down, but the damnedest thing I've ever seen them do is walking out on you.
I love this song because it's about shoes and for no other reason.
Moving on. All right. No, it's such a great one, because it's one of those where everything has a double meaning, where it's just like, I've worn out so many souls, where obviously it's, you know, the sole of your shoe, but it's also, he's worn out souls of people by, you know, being a terrible, not great person. And then it's talking about, like, damn these boots for walking out, like, as if it's, you know, because of the shoes he left his family and all that kind of stuff.
The deferring the blame onto his boots you know, these damned old boots, you know, and it's just,
yeah.
You know, then when at the end of the song, when he's like back on the girl's door and he's going to knock on it and then they just turn around, he's just like, damn, these boots.
Yeah,
and
he's like, these boots should kick down the door and walk into this house, but instead they turn around and walk away, and it's just like, oh, goddamn, man.
I absolutely adore this song. Yeah, I don't know. Is. Like, it's just so good. Like, this is what I think about as, like, one of those, like, the quintessential, you know, mid-2000s, what I loved about country music sound type song. Just so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I was debating when looking up the number one for this week. I was debating just trying to see if an Eric Church song was number one this week in a past year. But instead I did just find a mid-2000s because I was like, this is back when good music was number one. Because obviously none of these were singles. But the singles of his that did go number one were all fucking great. Like, I love Eric Church songs. Obviously, were
is this songs, Eric Church?
Is this Eric Church? I hate that shirt got taken down. Granted, no one bought it except me, but it was still great. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's our top 10 B-sides, deep cuts, non-singles, whatever, Eric Church songs that you should be listening to. They were never on the radio, but they are fucking great. So yeah, moving on. Before we move on, the reason I want to say, because yeah, we have two that were on his, or eight, or nine of them were on his first two albums, and then A Man Who Is Gonna Die Young, I believe, was on
that Outsiders. Was on Outsiders, correct.
Yeah, Outsiders. So I was looking at it, and I was just like, the ones that are on Chief, I'm like, the ones I liked were single, other than Over When It's Over. That one barely missed
out. Yeah, I really love that song. My only critique against that song is that it should be longer. That's literally it. The only thing I don't like about it is
it's like a 2-minute song.
Yeah, it's the only reason I don't like it more is that it's so short.
Yeah,
I fucking love that song, though.
Literally the only reason. But then I was looking at it, like, Springsteen and Homeboy are my favorite from that album. They're both singles.
Yo, Homeboy. I hadn't listened to it in a while, and the other day it came on. I'm like, fuck, this is a jam.
Yeah, and that I was like, I looked at it, and I was like, I always remember loving Chief, but I was like, it doesn't really hold up to me. Like, Chief is it's a good album, but it's like, it's not amazing as I remembered being.
It seems to me like it's way more singly, you know? Like, it seems like a collection of songs that would be singles, and to be fair, when I think about when it came out, and like, you know, high school and the college, like, that's the kind of thing I was looking for. But for sure, you know, not to even be too negative on it, but it doesn't hold up down the road, you know? Yeah. Like, not even like saying it's terrible or anything, but just, like, it doesn't hold up the way it hit back then.
Yeah, because it came out 2011, so it was there when bro country was still on, like, the incline.
Yes.
So it was bro, like, 1.0.
Yeah, it was like perfect 1.0. For me in my freshman year of college, basically.
Yeah, exactly. But then, yeah, Outsiders had A Man Who's Gonna Die Young. It had some other good ones that I really like, Broke Record and Dark Side are both great.
I really liked, I thought about trying to put them on my list, but at the same time, the early albums I love so much more, but I really thought about putting both Devil and Dark Side on my list.
Yeah.
I might even put one of those on there. I don't remember.
Dark Side was on
there. Okay, yours. I was like, I do not remember what I sent you, but I stand by it.
But yeah, then Mr. Misunderstood, it had some good songs on it, but they weren't better than all these other ones.
I enjoyed Mr. Misunderstood, but exactly, it's similar to, like, you know, not to sound like the cliche, you know, mainstream shit's bad. When people get big, they get shitty. But there's a lot of artists that their first couple albums I really enjoy, and then it just kind of tapers off. Mm-hmm. And Church has by no means fallen off. I just think that he's changed it up a little bit, and his sound in the first two albums is so good. I love it so much more. Yeah.
And then I just didn't even bother putting them in my top 10 because I do love Monsters and Hippie Radio from his newest album, but that album still is putting out singles, so I figured maybe one of those might become a single eventually.
Yeah.
So I didn't, because I, you know, if you asked me 2 months ago, I would have said some of it. I love that song, but that's a single now. So.
Yep. That would have been the only one that I would have thought of to, like, really put on, because I feel like I haven't listened to Desperate Man all that much, really. Like, I heard it.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it a lot.
Yeah, I heard it all the way through, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, there's some sounds in there I dig, but, yeah.
Yeah, like, some of it, Monsters, Hippie Radio, and Jukebox and a Bar are songs I really like, and Drowning Man's pretty good, too, but, yeah, I don't listen to it that much, so I don't know it that well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love Monsters, but that one seems like one that could easily be a single, so I didn't want to do that one. But, yeah, so that's our top 10, Eric Church, and, you know, whatever. It's good to revisit him, because, yeah, it's been 2 years since we focused on him, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Eric Church. Moving on.
Whatever words.
Now moving on, the number one country song of this year, of this week, but not from this year, because this year is terrible. We're going all the way back to 2006, where for, I think it was 4 weeks, from August 12th to September 2nd, 2016.
It's 2006, dumbass.
Was number one, Rodney Atkins, If You're Going Through Hell.
If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, or the devil even knows you're there. Yeah, if you're going through hell, keep on moving, face that fire, walk right through it, you might get out, or the devil even knows you're there.
I mean, we talked about this when we did the Rodney Atkins episode, but I love this song because it's one of those rare upbeat ones where we like as much as sad ones, where it's this, if you're going through hell, just keep going, you might get out before the devil. So it's pretty much saying, you know, if you're going through hell, just keep your head up and keep moving, you'll get out of there before you know it. And it's such a great,
the fastest way to get through a bad situation is just to fucking get through it, you know. Don't drag it out. Just try to get through it. And it is great, and it is it reminds me about pre caught up in the country Rodney Atkins. And wow.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was so funny. I was thinking about this. I was just like, yeah, we'll go with like a recent one. Then I realized it was like 2006 was 13 years ago.
Yeah, I have this happen all the time where I think about, like, if you go from the 90s into the 2000s, like, I completely forget about that those are like a difference. Like, I was talking before, like, I watched the Black Klansman movie, and then they talked about like when he worked from, and then it was like something that he did from like 90 something to like 2005. I was like, oh, so he was only there for like a couple of years. I'm like, oh wait, no, that was, he was, it was like 15 years. Like that's a full amount of time. I just have no concept of, thinking, you know, constantly thinking that the 90s were 10 years ago and they worked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause I was, it was just like 2006. I was just like, oh, that's a recent, I was like, Jesus Christ. That's when I was a freshman / sophomore in high school at that time. I was like, and that's 13 fucking years ago. Yeah, so that's how much music has changed in 13 years.
I think about the electronics and such, you know, like back in the day, like if you had like an iPod, and it was like the coolest thing ever because it was an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And then the touch screens didn't exist. You all had flip phones. You had like 95 things in your pockets because nothing was all on the same device, and now these fucking iPhones are ridiculous.
Yeah, when I was at the Apple store on Sunday, I laughed because they still sell iPod Touches. I was just like, that's a thing still? People just don't have iPhones?
I still have an iPod Touch. It hasn't been turned on in like 6 years, so it probably doesn't work, but I know thing is still there.
Yeah, there's one that's still at probably my parents' house that I bought way back when. Because I do remember I used one of my paychecks when I had a job in high school to buy an iPod Touch, and I thought it was the coolest fucking thing.
Oh, absolutely. You had apps. Dude, remember when apps were a thing? When they would just have commercials like apps.
When it was new.
There's an app is a thing, and it's on your phone. I'm like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Those commercials where the people would take their iPhones and bump them together and share contacts as if that was, like, really something. But we're just like, holy shit, how does it know?
Exactly.
God, that was the times.
Back in the day. Fucking 2006. God, we're old.
Shit.
Not as old as that fucking Walker Hayes stan who's like, these guys are probably, like, 60 years old.
That is hilarious. Especially because of that part, that we are for sure younger than that person.
Yeah, exactly. Why must you hate? Why are you so obsessed with Kane Brown? Says Karen, age 45, whose last 15 posts were about Kane Brown. That's probably the best tweet.
You need to get a life. Exactly. You need to get a life. Says person who is absolutely obsessed with Kane Brown and everything he ever did. That's so great.
Or was that? No, that wasn't first music. That was Reginald, whatever.
Spears.
Reginald Spears. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Albums came out last week, Kevin.
No, they did not. You can't convince me that they did.
I haven't gotten to listen to a lot of them, or like all the way through, but I have gotten a little touch of each one. They're all really good so far. First one is Rodney Crowell's Texas. I know I've heard Rodney Crowell before, but I couldn't remember where from, but it's a great...
Yeah, and I've got some songs saved by him, but I am blanking on the titles.
Yeah, next is Tracy Lawrence's Made in America. It's Tracy Lawrence. It sounds like Tracy Lawrence, and can't go wrong with that.
Word.
Lily May's Other Girls. She's kind of like an Americana folky sound, and it's
I saw it's a her good... at the Raccoon Motel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's really good.
Nice. Yeah, that one was good. And then Eileen Jewell's Gypsy. She's also kind of an Americana folky artist. Michael Austin's The Good Life. He's a contemporary-ish to traditional. He has one song where he kind of does a little like rap on it, but it's still like... It's not hell right bad, but it's not great. But the rest of them are good. And then Exiles, the Garage Tapes. It's like 30 songs long. It's good.
Dope.
Yeah. So what else you been listening to, watching, doing, thinking?
So as I mentioned a little bit ago on some other podcast that we've done, I bought a shitload of albums on Amazon and then kept buying them and then kept buying them. I have been listening to Rustin Kelly's Halloween album a lot because it's incredible. I've been listening to Jason Isbell's Southeastern because it's incredible. And I have been listening to Brandi Carlile's By the Way I Forgive You, which is also incredible.
Nah.
And literally after we get done doing this podcast, I'm probably going to go put something else on and re-listen to it because it's incredible.
You still have to listen to that Cliff Cody album. It's really fucking good.
Also have to do that.
Yeah. Actually, what I was listening to this week, because one of the songs came on one of my shuffles, is I listened to the first two albums by Mumford & Sons. I forgot how fucking good those albums were.
Dude, yeah.
They're so good.
Mumford was really good.
Yeah, those two albums were so great. I kind of want to check out their newer stuff just to see if it's any good, but I know it's not as cool and folky as their first, two were, but...
Because their first stuff was like Old Crow Medicine Show level folky. I mean, they were more upbeat, but, same shit.
Yeah, those albums were so goddamn good. But, yeah, anyway... you can find us on countryhodgepodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Country Hodgepodge, Spotify, the Hodge Podcast Picks, where we upload all the songs we talk about on the podcast. Also, Kevin's Picks of the Week, which he did update. I have to actually tweet it.
Yeah!
Which is 10 songs that you should be listening to that Kevin's like, hey, these are good! And then he tweets them.
Exactly.
It's also on a link through the website if you want to find it that way. This month in country, where we upload all the albums that come out that month, and then they move over to the 2019 in country playlist, where you can listen to every album that's come out this year so far. They're great. You can buy our shirts on the site. One of the White Claws got taken down, so get the rest before they get removed. And then Kevin's on Twitter at CHP_church, where he yells at clouds. And then please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher, Spotify now, yay, and SoundCloud and iTunes, obviously. So that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking with Sam Hunt.
Yarr.
It's the big 100, so we have to do it, finally.
Yarr.
Who am I going to share all this treasure with?
We have a guy on our team named Steve the Pirate.
Wait, there's a guy dressed like a pirate? anyway, that's it for this week. Until next week, I'm Steve Hodge. As always, joined by Kevin Hodge saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.
Aww.
Get back down here! Hello, my name is Steve Hodge, joined by my cousin Kevin Hodge, and we're here to let you know that we got a new podcast coming out soon. If you're a fan of the Hodge Podcast playlist, what the hell's our podcast called? The Hodge Podcast, that one.
No, if you're only fans of our playlist, then this is the podcast for you.
I get too used to reading the text I have written down, and I just say it. So I'm going to have to get used to doing a new intro, too. But anyway, we're doing a new podcast about the Bears, mostly Chicago Bears, are huge fans, but we're also going to be talking about the other NFL teams and occasionally some college football. We just decided...
Yeah, just a big fan of football.
Yeah, we just decided that instead of during the football season like we did last year, spending the first 20 minutes of our country music podcast talking about sports, we're going to use just a new podcast, which, who knows, might only get 10 listens each week. I don't care. We're going to use it. We like talking football. So
yeah, I require... just talking about football. I just have to do it, so we're going to do it.
It's true.
And if you want to hear my idiot noises more and just direct it about football,
which
check it out.
We got 30 teams are welcome to listen because the only two teams we're really going to shit talk are the Patriots and Packers because we hate both of those teams. Anyone else,
I don't know. I will shit also on the Lions because...
Well, that's NFC North.
But for some reason, their fans are just so dumb.
They are dumb. Yeah, they are dumb. But anyway, so look forward to that. Our first episode should go up right when the preseason ends. We'll probably talk draft, fantasy draft, because I think we should also do segments on fantasy, because that'd be fun. But so we're going to talk about how the preseason went, how we're excited for the kickoff, because Bears-Packers day one, baby! So we're gonna do that, and, so get ready for
a little
that.
Week one preview action, we'll look forward to the whole season, and, it's gonna be a fun time.
Yeah, so get ready for that. I don't have a closing line yet, so until that week, bye.
Later!